and welcome to another edition of Thumb Sports Line Radio on WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM. I'm Eddie Fury. Mike Gallagher will be in the studio shortly. He is finishing up and wrapping up his pages of the Sandlot County News. Sports section, of course, will be out on Wednesday. And plenty to talk about after Week 5 recaps. Somebody's on the phone with me. Who's on the phone?
It's your one and only prodigy.
JB.
There you go.
Jonathan Bisher.
Mike told me I had to call in right away because he was working late.
Okay, yeah, I saw that message on the way in, so yeah. I got slowed up. Apparently, Sandlot County Sheriff pulled somebody over, so. Wasn't me, though.
Oh, man.
Wasn't me.
Well, at least it wasn't you. You made it there in one piece.
Yeah, are you driving?
I'm driving. I just left work.
So you're using Bluetooth, though, right? Because you know you can't.
Yep. Hands-free. Hands-free. Safety first.
All right. All right. So what we usually do, we go through the scores from Week 5. And, you can make your little comments as I go through the scores. And we will start off with the Blue Water Area Conference also. You can find, of course, our daily news section. Go to the sports section, and you'll see the full list of the Week 5 high school games. The Week 6 games will be uploaded later after the show also, and I have the list already set. All right, so our Week 5 games, one of the games that we covered at Blue Water Area Conference, a lot of coverage there. I know you were at the Almont game, and Armada was leading at the half, I believe, 12-0, and then Almont came from behind and won by 1 point there, JB, 13-12.
Yeah, definitely a game of two halves, 12-0 at the half Armada, then the final score was 13-12.
And you'll be back there in Almont as Croswell-Lexington, my game of the week on WBGV 92.5. Have them shutting out Yale 41-0, so another big BWAC showdown, and it's Croswell-Lexington at Almont. Pretty exciting matchup there as both teams are undefeated.
Yeah, Croswell-Lexington put a statement win on Yale and set themselves up for a BWAC championship game, you really could say, here in week six already.
All right, and North Branch winning over Algonac 48-0. That was a Saturday game. Richmond defeats Emily City 35-3, but I do believe at the half it was only 7-3 in that game. Kind of curious how that started off, but Richmond kind of found their footing and defeated Emily City. Richmond's still in the mix. They only have one loss.
Richmond and North Branch still both in the mix. They need some help from Almont and Croslex, of course, one of them is going to need some help. So they're both still in the mix, though, but they play this week, so one of them is probably going to be knocked out with their second loss.
Yeah, we will end up with one undefeated team left in the BWAC by the end of week six, for sure. So, All right. In the Greater Thumb Conference, the Reese Rockets blasting Vassar 45-6. Cass City shuts out Unionville Seaboying 46-0. The Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers 49-12 over the Carroll Tigers. Harbor Beach, after the score being 0-0 at the half, came through with 22 points to Marlette 6 in that game. Sandusky also coming from behind to defeat Bad Axe 32-14. Ubley shuts out Memphis 63-0 in that game. And, well, the Greater Thumb East right now, Ubley seems to have a strong hold on. Sandusky having that loss to Marlette kind of put him behind the eight ball. So they pretty much got to beat Harbor Beach, and then in a couple of weeks, they got Ubley also to get right back into the Greater Thumb East. That's a tough task.
Yeah, Sandusky's got a tough two games in front of them. Harbor Beach, then Ubley. Luckily, they have Ubley on the road. If you look over at the West, man, that collision course, Lakers and Cass City, just keeps riding another week for a week seven matchup between those two teams to decide the Greater Thumb West.
All right, looking in high school eight-player football scores from week five, Kingston defeats Dryden 58-0. That was a Thursday game. Brown City defeats Burton Atherton 38-16. Deckerville gets by Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. High scoring affair there, 44-30 in that score. I think the Deckerville flag boy must have ran over 400-plus yards as a leading rusher, even though he's not in the team. So,
yeah, he's got the most experience, though.
Yes. Mayville they fought hard against KPEC, but this is what happens when you have some of your star players or makers get hurt and only play a few quarters, but just enough, as Mayville got by KPEC 16-14. KPEC's just, you know, right there on the cusp, but then, you know, just can't, comes up short in the last several games here.
Yeah, KPEC comes up short, and Mayville every week has done just enough to walk away with a win. Big test this week for the Wildcats, though, traveling over to Brown City.
Also, Bay City All Saints holding the lead in the North Central Thumb League Stripes Division, where they're, man, what a big win here. 74 points. I guess Miami took note of that, tried to get close to that. I'm talking about Miami Dolphins. All Saints 74 to Peck's 8. And this is a very young Peck team, by the way.
Yeah, very young Peck team. All Saints has kind of been that team in the Stripes that's never quite been able to put it together. Usually ran into Peck or North Yearham. This year, it looks like it's going to come down to them and the Vikings, who took care of business Friday night.
In overtime, over Kaysville, 46-40. I don't know if you can hear the horn or not. So, yeah.
Oh, I can hear it loud and clear. I love it.
Okay. New Haven Merritt shutting out Carsonville Port Salac 62-0. Man, it's been a tough go here for Carsonville Port Salac.
Yeah, we all kind of thought this was the week CPS would get on the right track, and, well, we were wrong, and that's why we're not the experts.
I've been voting for CPS three straight weeks, and it's cost me wins, and it's dropped me down in the standings, so, yeah. Accra Fairgrove, as I said, over Kaysville, 46-40, and North Huron, this was a big win, defeating Ashley 26-20. It is almost virtually impossible to pick a team other than All Saints in a stretch division for pigskin picks sometimes. So
yeah, eight-player football has been brutal this year for the pick-ems. Everybody's beating up on each other, kind of like the BWAC.
All right, so those are your scores from Week 5. You can find them weekly on our website at sandlakebroadcasting.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with Jonathan Butcher to talk about the Blue Water Area Conference with the Almont Raiders coming from behind to defeat the Armada Tigers. We'll be right back here on Sportsline Radio on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. And we're streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky invites you to join the team. Get active and meet new friends. Fall bowling team registration is going on now. There are openings for ladies' leagues on Monday evening and Wednesday morning, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and mixed leagues for Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Beginners are welcome. For more information, call 810-648-9860 or stop at Liberty Lanes. Oh yes, Liberty Lanes is also hiring for all positions. Stop in and apply at Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro and M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
It's September. The leaves are beginning to change, the evenings are cooler, and Friday nights mean high school football. At Thumb Cellular, we're celebrating this special time of year by sharing some great savings with you. During the month of September, all Samsung Galaxy phones are on sale, with some marked down $450 from their regular retail price. But that's not where the savings end. They're also hosting an accessory sale. Spend $30 on any combination of accessories and save $10. Take your pick of chargers, cases, wireless speakers, headsets, screen protectors, and more. If it's an accessory at Thumb Cellular, you'll save $10 when you spend $30. But hurry, these savings are only valid during the month of September. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more info, or visit your local office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Offers valid through September 30th, 2023.
Can't wait to communicate. Talk of the phone, cellular.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline Radio and WMIC, and recap of Week 5 action. A lot of good games in Week 5, and it gets better as we go through the season. Crosby Lexington Pioneers, a game of the week. It was 41-0 over the Yale Bulldogs, and what happened in this game? Well, the Pioneers circled the wagons, brought the dog catcher, putting the Bulldogs back in the pound, and keeps the helmet trophy game for the seventh straight year. In fact, Mikey Smith pointed something out as we walk into the football field that on the wall, you know, it has a listing there, Jonathan, of all what they have accomplished. And then it says, beat Yale, you know, on there. So I didn't notice that until you pointed that out. And obviously, that's one of the biggest rivals. I was really surprised about this score. But you hurt yourself on special teams where Yale, they had two straight punts were pretty much muffed on, you know, as they were punting it. One punt hit the back of a player, and it fell back in the 20-yard line, so they're scrambling to cover that up, and Croswell ended up picking it up in great field position and then scoring V's. And then a second straight putt, punt went over, the snap went over the head of the punter. So, again, putting Croswell Lexington in great field position. And you just can't do that against any BWAC team. They'll just take advantage and get into the end zone. And Billy Grappi took advantage of that also. And, you know, I think that probably rattled the Yale Bulldogs. They seemed to settle down late in the game and into the second half. But by then, they just couldn't get it into the end zone. They got it past midfield a couple of times, but otherwise, the Croswell Lexington Pioneers defense, you've seen this team once already. What do you like about the Pioneers that they continue to do? Obviously, the quarterback, Gavin Espinosa, is the main crux, along with Billy Grappi with the rushing game. But they do have some good passing receivers out there that they got to pass. Great protection for Espinosa also up front is what I like about this offensive line, also from the Pioneers.
Yeah, Lex is really the complete team, you could say, based off of passing and rushing. Espinosa really throws the ball. Him and Brown, Espinosa is really that dual threat quarterback, and nobody yet has to stop Billy Grappi. My only concern with Croslex is they rely so much on those two. If they face a team that's able to take away Grappi, that third guy, John Herman's kind of evolved as that third running back a little, or that second running back for them, the third option. On the ground, Mativier's kind of become their big play receiver. So they got some guys, but it's really going to come down to them when they face the team like Elmont, who's got a stiff defense, who's going to be that X factor for the Pioneers. But nonetheless, man, they've been just rock solid throughout the year. Espinosa's been dealing through the air. Grappi's been unstoppable on the ground. He's made his case through the first 5 weeks for our player of the year in the thumb. And I can't wait to see him for a second time this year on come Friday night.
Okay, and our unofficial stats that I have that Mikey Smith and I, and by the way, this was a, you've kind of modified this stat program that we've been using there, Jonathan. It's been working out really great for us. 136 yards receiving or throwing passing-wise for the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. They had 209 yards rushing, and again, they were working with short field. This is why you figure the stats, you know, would be a little bit higher, you know, as they scored 41 points also. So, no interceptions from Espinosa, I believe. And he threw for a touchdown pass, I believe. Billy Grappi, four touchdowns, and Espinosa also running it in for a touchdown also. And, yeah, and you think they might be one player away from the running game ending, but like you said, John Herman being back in the backfield. They do have a couple other running backs also, but they haven't had to use them too much. Mainly, if they have to, they will use that running back as a fullback. But I don't think they've had to even, at one point, even use a fullback. I may add an extra tight end on the line there to just make bigger holes for Grappi.
Yeah, for the most part, it's just been Espinosa in the shotgun, Grappi lined up behind him, and the pistol are off to his left and right. They've had great success with those zone reads, with read options, with Espinosa testing the edge, and Grappi's just such a tough man to bring down the first time that they haven't had to explore that option of using somebody else or lining up with a fullback. And the motto goes, if it's not broke, cross Lex, well, they haven't been broken on offense all year, so why change it?
And Yale, you know, they kind of balance offense from other games that we read about and I looked up on the stats on. They were limited to just 42 yards passing and 67 yards rushing. I think this was probably the lowest output they've had all season. And after starting off, you know, pretty hot, you know, they had some big wins over Armada and then earlier in week one, and they just stumbled since. You know, it may be a little too late to regroup, but you never know if you can pull off some wins and trying to regroup and get and right the ship here for the Bulldogs. But time's running out here. I think I kind of lost you there. I think you'll come back then. Okay, go ahead, JB.
Middle of the season, you just hope they can right the ship and really.
Okay, so I lost you there again. Three straight losses for Yale. It started off with a loss to North Branch, 14-6, and then a 21-42 loss to Richmond, and this past week, 41-0. They do have Emily City, and they'll have Algonac, and then they'll end the season with Almont and BWAC play in Schwartz Creek in Week 9 also. So that's where Yale at right now. And for the Crosby Lexington Pioneers, still undefeated. They have scored so far 201 points and only allowed 59 at this point. And they will have Almont this week, then followed by Emily City. A tough game against North Branch, I believe, still. And then Freeland to end the season also. I lost you. You were going to make some points about Yale?
Yeah, I am going down a little bit.
All right.
They've now hit that wall in Crosley. They face North Branch. They still got Almont left on the schedule. So you just hope that they can right the ship come the end of the season and get into the play.
All right. That's Jonathan Bisher. We're going to take another break as Mike Gallagher has walked in. And we'll come back and talk about your game, Almont in Armada, who Crosby Lexington will meet up, and that's going to be probably the biggest Blue Water Area Conference game, I would say, the week coming up in Week 6. So we'll be right back here with Jonathan Bisher, and in the studio also is Mike Gallagher, fresh off of the paper being done, I do believe. I think he's smiling. He's happy. It's done. All right. We'll be right back here on Thumb Sportsline Radio on WMIC.
Whether you're a homeowner looking to cut branches on your property or a professional looking to cut the toughest tree, Steel from Tri-County Equipment is the name trusted for generations. Right now, Tri-County Equipment leads the way with great savings on the Steel power equipment that you need for the fall season. Save $30 on a Steel BG56 blower, now $169.99. Save $50 on the Steel TSA230 model, now $499.99. When it's time to cut wood for the season, do it right. With a Steel MS250 18-inch chainsaw, now only $369.99, a savings of $50. You can also save $20 on the Steel BGA 57 sets, now just $179.99. And remember, all purchases are backed by Tri-County's factory-trained professionals. For a steal of a deal on dependable steel products, visit Tri-County Equipment with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Fenton, Lapeer, Bertrand, Reese, Saginaw, and Auburn Hills. Tri-County
Equipment. We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumb's technology needs since 2008.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
And welcome back to Sportsline, Thumb Sportsline Radio. I forgot to make a Facebook post about the show there, Mike.
Yeah, hopefully people know by now that we're on every Monday, but It's always nice to give them a little reminder, but...
All right, I want to make... I know it's not sports related, but it kind of is. Mrs. Fury said to buy pie crust, and I did. There's two in one, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the chicken pot pie tonight.
Yeah.
I got it. But then she says, I needed four crusts. I'm imitating me, you know, like the annoying wife.
Yeah, I don't think you should be doing that.
I said, you should have told me four, right?
Yeah.
Give me a number.
Yeah.
Give me stats, woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sports guy.
Yeah.
Give me stats. And then she says, if you bring home pie crust, four.
Mm-hmm.
She says, four.
Mm-hmm.
In California, I will make... I already bought the California blend veggies. I'll just put cheese on top. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm always going to side with your wife, Eddie. I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
That's just the way it is.
Well, that guy is definitely whipped there, JB.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
She's making you chicken pot pie. I don't know what you're so upset about.
True that.
Yeah.
All right. Pulling off the second half upset was the Elmont Raiders. Jonathan Bishop, you were at this game. There's a chunk of the sports coverage area game. What a win for Elmont to come from behind and beat Armada. Who the Croswell Lexington Pioneers will meet up. Your real quick comment on Croswell. I mean, we were just talking about the game.
Croslex?
Yeah.
That was the most dominant quarter.
Because there was no scoring in the second half.
Yeah. No, it was running clock. It was backups in. That was the most dominant quarter of football I've seen all season. And, you know, you're up 28-0 after the first quarter. You can kind of cruise in, the last three quarters. But Croslex looked so good, Eddie. It was,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't look like, it looked like Croslex was playing in a rivalry game, and it looked like Yale was not. And that's not an indictment on Yale. I do think that they're a very good team, but Croslex made them look pretty bad last week. And it was offensively, it was defensively, it was special teams. And, you know, after the first quarter, you're down 28-0. What do you do then? You know? And the intensity for Croslex was insane.
Obviously, this goes back years and years ago with Mike Knowles as the head coach saying, I want this helmet trophy game. It's his first year, you know, as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that trophy.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And that trophy has been in possession of the Pioneers for seven straight seasons now.
Yeah.
Kind of a lopsided rivalry in recent years. But we saw last year Yale took Croslex to overtime. So you come into this game and you think, well, you know, Yale, they've come off a couple of tough losses, and you know they're going to play up to their rival, but Croslex was having none of that. I mean, that was belly grappy. I mean, what else can you say about the kid? I
get
mean,
in my belly.
Yeah, I mean, he had 102 yards and three touchdowns after the first quarter, and that third touchdown run he had, it was like when you play Madden and you make a 99 overall player and just put him out there and let him do whatever he wants.
Saw a little Barry in there.
He must have broke six or seven tackles on that play.
Yeah.
And there was a point where there was three Yale Bulldogs surrounding him, and he scores.
Spun out there will be Steve
Barnes. Yeah, he's like, yeah, no thanks. I don't want to be tackled, so I'm just going to score instead.
All right, the Elmont Raiders are going to need to tackle this guy here. The thing with Elmont Raiders that I know, there is no really true top running back. There may be. But they've got three great, maybe four running backs in the backfield there, JB. We've covered this team since 2009, since the inception of Thumbtugger Sports also. And it's always just amazing to see that Elmont consistently always be a decent team. Even in the down years, they're still a good team to beat. You have to beat them. But this game, they were down 12-0, and they come from behind the second half. Tell me what happened in this game.
This was a tale of two halves. You know, we say this all the time, but it is true as could be. Armada offensively unstoppable in the first half. Only had 12 points to show for it, but Jackson Malberg, the sophomore for the Tigers, was just running through everybody going around. He had great success, and you had to credit Elmont. They went to halftime, they game plan for him, and Malberg was shut right down. Armada didn't have a single third down conversion or fourth down conversion in the second half. And the Elmont defense just put the clamps on. And you said it, Eddie, they don't have that one-star player. You know, like Croslex has got Groppy, and they rely heavily. Elmont's got four or five different guys that they're willing to give the ball to. And Jacob Stewart's one of them, Chase Vitani, Aiden Furkawan, Luke Winkler. Those are all guys, even Jacob Fuller, that just at any given time can make a house call We saw it last night or Friday night. Winkler had a 64-yard touchdown reception on just a beautiful play design, and it was everybody from Elmont chipping in, and that's just why they're a tough team to beat, because you can't just take away one guy.
This is the total rushing yards for Armada, 217. They did have 35 yards, not bad, but Elmont had 359 total yards, 92 yards passing, 267 yards rushing. You talked about Jacob Stewart. He was the leading rusher, 11 carries, 123 yards, but no touchdowns. That's okay when you can set your guys up like Aiden Faraquan. He had 59 yards, 9 attempts, and had a touchdown in this game also. The other touchdown was a passing touchdown. Chase Dabadowski, 4 of 7, 92 yards, 1 touchdown, did have an interception. Did that interception lead to a touchdown for Armada in the game?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So, 4 for 9 on third downs, 2 for 7 for Armada, 1 for 1 on fourth downs. Each team had a turnover in this game also, and they were interceptions. Big game here. It's at Elmont.
It's at Elmont.
Tough atmosphere to play in. It's a great atmosphere.
Yep.
For Croswell Lexington. This is a BWAC type of game that we always, crave and just, can't wait to see.
Yeah, and Elmont coming off of two really hard-fought comeback wins against North Branch and Armada, whereas Croslex has been pretty dominant in their last couple of games. This is going to be a game. I don't think Croslex overlooked Elmont last year, but I don't think many of us had Elmont beating Croslex. It was a little bit of an upset. And, I think what we saw this past week against Yale, Croslex wasn't going to let them do what they did to them last year and take them into overtime with a chance to win it. I don't think Croslex is going to overlook Elmont. Obviously, they're undefeated, so you can't. There's no excuses there. You're not going to overlook Elmont. But let me just run through a few stats for you before we got to go to break, because, Belly Grappi had the big night, but the defense for Croslex just ridiculous, because Yale does so many different things offensively, and last year the trick plays kind of got them. Braylon Day, 15 tackles, 6 solo tackles, and a sack. Belly Grappi, 2 tackles for loss. John and Bill Herman both had 2 pass deflections. Reese Knoll playing defensive end, 3 pass deflections and 2 sacks. Noah Jackson, 7 tackles and 2 sacks.
Sorry, go ahead.
And Nolan Campbell, 3 pass deflections. So it was everybody making plays for Croslex. And, Belly had the big game out of the backfield, but the first play of the game was John Herman with a big run, 43 yards. He finished with 80 yards on 6 carries. This Croslex team is versatile, and they're playing very well right now.
All right, WM Thumb Token Sports Channel 1 this coming Friday night.
Playing me
Jonathan Bisher, we'll be right back. 6:15.
I'll shut up.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumb's technology needs since 2008.
Whether you're a homeowner looking to cut branches on your property or a professional looking to cut the toughest tree, Steel from Tri-County Equipment is the name trusted for generations. Right now, Tri-County Equipment leads the way with great savings on the steel power equipment that you need for the fall season. Save $30 on a Steel BG56 blower, now $169.99. Save $50 on the Steel TSA230 model, now $499.99. When it's time to cut wood for the season, do it right. With a Steel MS250 18-inch chainsaw, now only $369.99, a savings of $50. You can also save $20 on the Steel BGA 57 sets, now just $179.99. And remember, all purchases are backed by Tri-County's factory-trained professionals for a steal of a deal on dependable steel products. Visit Tri-County Equipment with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Burton, Fenton, Lapeer, Bertrand, Reese, Saginaw, and Auburn Hills. Tri-County Equipment.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. Our game of the week on 92.5 comes Friday evening. Sandusky Wolves at the Harbor Beach Pirates. Haven't seen Harbor Beach yet this season. Our first look at them, and then Sandusky RB since week two. Or was it week one? I can't remember. It was week one. We saw Sandusky against Reese, and we see them again as we still continue to talk about the Blue Water Area Conference. Wrapping up the coverage on the Almont and Armada game. Come from behind Victor for Almont. As Jonathan Mitchell said, a tale of two halves. Luke Winkler was a receiver who had three receptions, 87 yards, and one touchdown to get that second touchdown for the Almont Raiders in that game. And yeah, it was 6 points scored for Armada in the first quarter. They scored the second 6 points, and it was 12-0, Armada leading, and then 6 points by Alma in the third quarter. That was the only score. And then 7 points, actually in the third quarter, 6 points in the fourth quarter to make it 13-12 to get that one-point win for the Almont Raiders to go 5-0 at this point. The first touchdown, Logan Chun, a one-yard run. The kick was no good by Armada. Second touchdown by Jackson Malberg, three-yard run, making it 12-0 for Armada. And then Aiden Farraquan had the third-quarter score with a two-yard run. Sean O'Neill getting the PAT to make it 7-12 with Armada still leading by five. Luke Winkler, the 64-yard pass reception from Chase Davidowski, and the failed two-point conversion. However, as they wanted that two-point conversion to make it, 14-12. However, it was just enough, one-point lead for Almont to get the win. So there you go with that. It'll be Almont hosting Cross of Lexington this coming Friday night. Very critical Blue Water Area Conference game. Now, moving on and looking at some of the other games in the Blue Water Area Conference, the Richmond Blue Devils, they got the win over Emily City, 35-3. At the half, it was 7-3, Richmond leading only by four. There was no score after the first quarter, but then 21 unanswered points for the Richmond Blue Devils in the third quarter, shutting out Emily City in the second half. Richmond Blue Devils got seven more in the fourth to take the win 35-3 over the Emily City Spartans. Emily City falls to 1-4, while Richmond goes 4-1. The lone loss is to Crosby Lexington Pioneers that we had covered back in week two. 247 total yards for Richmond Blue Devils. 201 of them were rushing, just 46 yards passing. And, however, two interceptions thrown in this game against Emily City. First score was Dominic Bonetti, a 24-yard pass from Anthony Bonetti, making it 7-0. Colton Bartels with the PAT kick. Field goal for Emily City to get on the board in the second quarter to make it 7-3. Then Anthony Bonetti, a 30-yard run. Colton Bartels kick to make it 14-3, Richmond leading. Dominic Bonetti with a 5-yard run, making it 21-3. The Colton Bartels PAT kick to make it 21-3 in the third quarter. Connor Bergion, with a 9-yard run. Colton Bartels again with a PAT kick, making it 28-3. Joseph Judy with an 80-yard interception return on defense. Colton Bartels with the PAT kick to make it 35-3. Richmond winning this one and going 4-1. 201 yards rushing, scoring points on defense. I could use those fantasy defensive points, but Dallas didn't put me out of it from yesterday fantasy football. Otherwise, right now, Richmond seems to be playing better and better since that loss to the Croswell-Lexington Pioneers. you know, Richmond is this a sneaky team now, aren't they, coming in through the rest of the BWAC here?
Richmond is definitely a sneaky team, but they've got a tough road coming up here, and that's a team that's fighting for a playoff bid, and they're going to have to come away with maybe an upset win in the BWAC.
Yeah.
Because I don't have it in front of me, but they got a pretty tough stretch coming up.
Yeah. This is another highlight BWAC game this week. Other than the Crowds of Lexington and Elmont game, you have North Branch and Richmond this week also.
Right.
So, yeah, a big highlight game there.
And North Branch is a team, they're not out of it by any means. And that's a team that has caused Crowds of Lexington some problems in the past. And a team that's been playing very good football lately. So North Branch, they got to take care of business this week, and then they still have Crowds of Lexington on the schedule. So they're not out of it by any means. So that's definitely a big game in the BWAC.
And then you're talking about the stretch that Richmond has. This is who they have. They have North Branch this week, followed by Elmont, Armada, and then the week non-conference game, Clintondale. So
okay, that's a tough stretch.
Yes. I mean, it's just
that's the BWAC for you, though.
Yeah, that's what we love, having a competitive Blue Water area conference.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to have two undefeated teams still left at this point.
And right back to North Branch, they have a tough stretch also. You know, they got that 49-0 win over Algonac. They have Richmond this week, Armada, and then Crowds of Lexington.
Yep. So they'll need some help. They'll need somebody to beat Elmont, maybe Crowds of Lexington Pioneers. And then, North Branch is going to have a shot at it towards the end.
And then they'll have Holly to wrap up week 9.
Okay, that should be a win. I don't know if you saw that. I think Holly lost big this week to Flushing. I think Flushing scored something like 72 points or something. So
yeah, let me click on that. What is that, another Miami score?
Right.
72-28 to Flushing.
Yeah, so
three straight losses here for Holly.
Yeah, so the Broncos should be able to win that one. And
they're also known as the Holly Broncos, but it says Holly Bronchos.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a misprint?
I don't think so, no.
No, the Bronchos.
No, and I'm not sure what a broncho is, but I know that it's not a typo, so.
You know, that's what the magical thing of having the internet is. So let's look it up, the Bronchos. Wikipedia says it's the less common spelling of bronco. A horse would be propensity to buck.
Okay.
So maybe there's more buck. Not so much three straight losses.
Or maybe
so
because of the H in Holly, they throw the H in the Bronchos.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Speaking of horses, while we're on the topic,
yes.
I was at CPS New Haven Merit Academy last week. New Haven Merit Academy is the Mustangs, and
yes,
they actually had a live horse at the game. Not a Mustang, obviously, but,
they have a pony?
Yeah.
My Little Pony?
I don't know my horses well enough, but definitely not a Mustang, but it was very cool.
All right, and you were there because that was an early game. So,
yes, yeah. It was. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right, so for the BWAC schedule this week, two big games, Elmont hosting Crowds of Lexington, Emily City against Yale. You would hope this would be a bounce-back win for Yale, but you can't count out Emily City.
It should be, but Emily City hung with Richmond for a half. So,
yeah, so.
I mean, it's no weeks off in the BWAC.
Armada looking for a bounce-back here against Algonac. And, man, what a tough stretch here for the Armada Tigers. It started off hot.
There was so much hype around this team.
Yeah, they beat Marine City in week 1.
Yeah, and they deserved all the hype.
Then two straight losses to Yale, Crowds of Lexington. Then bounced back with Emily City, win 47-7, and then losing to Elmont this past week.
That one hurts.
Yeah.
That one hurts. So that's four losses for Armada now?
Three losses.
Okay.
And three overall.
Okay, so they still got a shot.
They've got
Some work to do.
They got Algonac this week.
Okay.
North Branch, and then Richmond, and then Corona.
Okay. It might be on the outside looking in.
Yeah. But they're a team we've already seen in every game that can pull it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they just got to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Yale one, that one's going to hurt them. I think they'd like to have that one back. But, yeah.
Geez, something smells good. What did you buy? What'd you bring in?
I got a little surf and turf from McDonald's. Got the filet fish and the
last week it was DQ.
Yeah,
this week you're supporting our other sponsors here.
Yeah, you know, one of these weeks I'm going to take an actual lunch break and then.
Oh, me too. Somehow.
It's hard to find time on deadline day.
Lunch, like on Mondays, I rush home and have a frozen burrito, and then I have to get orders from Mrs. Fury on the pie crust and the California blend vegetables. Apparently, maybe I didn't buy the California blend and didn't notice. So
yeah, we're pretty disgusting people on Mondays, man. So, it's not the best way to start the week, but yeah, it's the way it goes.
Okay, so the week six games, Croswell, Lexington, and Almont, Emily City and Yale, Elginac and Armada, and North Branch against Richmond. Those are some highlight games in the Blue Water Area Conference, so very interesting. All right, we're a couple of notes here. I want to bring this up. Michigan State Spartans, we'll talk a little bit of college football there. You know, this thing is, the wheels are falling off here. You've got a lot of decommits now coming in and saying, I don't think that's not a good idea here to come here now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough situation for the current coaching staff.
Yeah.
For what they're dealing with. It's not their fault. It's a phone call here and there.
You know, I'm not qualified to talk about the Michigan State
issues. It's
just tough.
Yeah,
it was tough, but...
It was a tough game for Michigan for a little bit, but they got over Rutgers. Good win. Maryland beat the Spartans 31-9 for Michigan. They get the win at Ann Arbor. Let's just say a hell of a bit of a cakewalk leading up to this point. Rutgers gave them some fits, but Jim Harbaugh comes back to the sidelines,
big defensive play by Mike Sander still, the former offensive player.
Man, they're 1-2 punch there in the backfield with Blake Corum and Edwards also. Just a heck of a job in the backfield. And J.J. McCarthy, what can you say about him? You see a lot of mistakes, but he does recover. He doesn't let it rattle him. He will charge forward, good win for Michigan. They're going to have Nebraska Cornhuskers, who got throttled by Colorado not too long ago. Speaking of Colorado, is the honeymoon over? The swoon over Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes over now.
Yeah, that was a tough one to watch. I've been rooting for Colorado. I'm a big fan of the prime time.
It's
pretty cool to see what they've done at Colorado there, but I think you see Colorado with some offensive line issues. You know, they brought in all these great skill position players, but they don't necessarily have it in the trenches. And when you're going up against Oregon, that's going to be a problem.
So that's that there.
Yeah.
They have USC this week.
Yeah, did they fall out of the polls or no?
I'm not sure yet. And how about those Lions, man?
Yeah.
What a bounce back win. They should have beaten Seattle. Just mistakes were made there.
Well,
in the NFL, you just can't turn the ball over like they did again yesterday. The defense has been carrying this team.
Yeah.
And this is a pieced together defense that has been falling because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal in the offense. But it seems like with the coaches and this staff here, the reason why they signed a lot of these guys that are practice squads or the backup players, because they know these guys are starters too.
Mm-hmm.
The players that we have, that we brought in, we know they're starters.
Yep.
And they can step in, and when they're asked, this practice squad knows, we're going to get called up.
Yeah.
And they just can't wait for that moment, and they do step up.
Yep, and great job by Tracy Walker stepping into the starting lineup for Gardner Johnson, and then Brian Branch, good job, the rookie there. And, you know, I'm trying to not get my hopes up too much, but if this was the same old Lions, they would have lost that game.
They'd be 0-3 right now.
Well, yeah, that's true. We wouldn't even be talking about them.
But I wouldn't be wearing this hat. I'd be wearing my paper bag that I still have there.
Right.
Actually, I might have to retire. He's still in the corner there.
Yeah.
He hasn't been seen since. You can see him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have my paper bag, a Lions fan here.
Yeah.
So.
Beat the Packers now, though.
This is a big game.
Yeah.
Big game here at Green Bay. Tough to win there, so we'll see what happens there. Okay, that game, by the way, we're back on WTGV 97.7 FM. 92.5 have been carrying the Lions football games. We're going to have a doubleheader of sports with the Tigers wrapping up six more games. They're out of the playoffs. Yeah. But, man, this is a team on the up and up, I think.
Hey, and it's Miggy's last six games.
Yeah,
so
I really want to try to make one of them.
You know, I looked it up. I wanted to see how much tickets were for the final home game.
Yeah.
And obviously, I waited a little bit too long.
Sold out.
Completely sold out.
Yeah.
You can buy standing room only tickets for $60.
Which is a fun section, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what we work for opening day.
I'm kind of tempted, but you know, heck of a career. You know, one of my favorite baseball players. And
I heard that
kind
Oakland
of end of an era.
I think Oakland might have forgot a present for Miggy. They bought him a bottle of wine. They looked like it was bought at a Walmart or Myers.
Hey, that's Moneyball, man. They don't got money to be spending on presents.
But, you know, Miggy's not drunk Miggy anymore. So
No.
They bought him a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Well, that's Oakland for you, though.
Right.
You know, they don't play Moneyball with gifts, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, I had said the bold prediction, and I was laughed at, that they would win 70 games, and you know they did it. So
okay, nice. Yeah.
So yeah. All right, that's and Tiger Baseball also on 97.7. They're back tomorrow, Tuesday. Three-game series against Kansas City Royals and then Cleveland Guardians to wrap up the season. The last game is October 1st. And, of course, Lions football this coming Thursday. Nights on WTGB 97.7 FM, 7:10 p.m. is the pregame. All right, we're going to take a weather break, and Mike is going to take a bite of his burger here real quick. And we'll come right back here on Thumb Sportsline Radio. And we are in the fall season.
Yeah, don't remind me.
We'll be right back here on 95.3 FM and WMIC AM 660.
From Kraft Chevrolet of Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Everyone is sick of high-interest financing on new vehicles.
1.9, Sam.
1.9 what?
1.9% financing available on most new Chevys.
1.9% financing?
Yep.
That's lower than any bank around here.
Not even close. GM Financial is offering as low as 1.9% financing on all Silverado, Equinox, Traverse, and Blazer models.
This is over a 4% savings of what you currently can get from your local banks, which equates to over $5,000 in savings throughout the life of the loan.
And with trade-in allowances and owner loyalty incentives, you can get up to $10,000 in savings and as low as 1.9% financing on a demo Silverado. This is a great deal, folks.
We currently have 7 trucks in our demo program and are putting great discounts on a first-come, first-served basis.
With $10,000 in savings and as low as 1.9% financing, this is a great opportunity to get into the truck that you've been waiting for.
If you're currently in an Equinox, Blazer, or Colorado lease, you get an additional $1,000 in incentives to get into a new Silverado.
And with demo discount savings, your lease payment will be less than you think.
1.9% financing, demo discounts, and big incentive offers. There hasn't been a better time to purchase or lease your new vehicle at Graf Chevrolet on M46 in Sandusky.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky invites you to join the team. Get active and meet new friends. Fall bowling team registration is going on now. There are openings for ladies' leagues on Monday evening and Wednesday morning, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and mixed leagues for Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Beginners are welcome. For more information, call 810-648-9860 or stop at Liberty Lanes. Oh yes, Liberty Lanes is also hiring for all positions. Stop in and apply at Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio, high school sports show. Recap of Week 5 football action. The Ubly Bearcats ripped the Memphis Yellow Jackets 63-0. Your final score in that game. Just tearing it up, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think anybody was surprised by that outcome.
Yeah. So obviously, they're still undefeated in the Greater Thumb East. They've already beaten Harbor Beach. They will have a test. Still have to meet Sandusky. Sandusky, you know, a curious quandary there. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Sandusky's still got everything in front of them. They got Harbor Beach, and they got Ubly still on the schedule. So.
That is our game of the week.
Oh, good.
Sandusky at Harbor Beach. Where will you be at?
I'm not sure yet. I'll probably be in Elmont.
Okay. So what do we want to do first?
Talk to Paul about Harbor Beach and Ubly.
All right. Paul Adams for the Huron County V. How you doing, Paul?
Good.
All right. So we talked about the Ubly Bearcats just ripping Memphis 63-0. This week, they will have a Bad Axe. Now, Bad Axe seemed to kind of give Sandusky a little bit of fits there. But the way Ubly's been able to handle their opponents there, Paul, oh, man, it just there's no stopping them right now.
No, Ubly's clicking on all cylinders. And, you know, the scary thing is Ubly's pretty banged up. You know, Evan Peruski didn't play in that game against Memphis. He is going to play against Bad Axe, so that's a boost. Thought he might miss 2 weeks. He's only going to miss 1 week. And I can report that I was actually a little wrong in my story about Harbor Beach, him getting hurt. He did hurt his hamstring, but it was the opposite hamstring that he hurt in track. So this was not a re-aggravation of the one that he suffered during the track season. This is a new injury, and it's kind of a different injury for him. So But it is a hamstring nonetheless, but he is expected to play against Bad Axe.
All right, so the touchdowns in this game, I think Rick Laza sent this to me. This is how unprepared I am also. Let me look at this. Where do you send this at? Do you have it in front of you, Paul, or not?
I do have it in
there
front of
you.
Me.
You're actually working on your article. Okay, now I got it up here. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I've actually got all my stuff done. I've just prepared myself for this little segment.
Okay, go ahead.
Instead of going off the top of my head. So, Ubley scores 35 points in the first quarter. You knew it was going to be a long night when Luke Ballmering took the opening kick, 75 yards. Then Ballmering scored on a 16-yard run to make it 14-0. Ballmering hit Brett Mueller for 27 yards to go up 21-0. Then Colin Ozatowski goes for 41 yards, and Ozatowski again for 7 yards. So that was the first quarter. First 12 minutes, Ubley scores 5 touchdowns. Second quarter, Jackson Susella goes for 23 yards. Colton Oswald, 4 yards. And Luke Ballmering finishes off the second quarter with a 47-yard run, 56-0 at halftime. And then the only score of the second half was Oswald again for 13 yards. Final score, 63-0. And the other thing that is a standout of this game is that's 9 touchdowns. Brett Mueller was 9 of 9 for PATs. He moves into third place all time with 177 PATs. If the next number on that list is 181, so he should be second all time by the time the Bad Axe game is over, and then 207 is the record. So Brett Mueller is trying to set the all-time record for a point, extra points in a career. So I think he's got a really good chance of doing that. If Ubley keeps scoring at this pace, should be really close by district play. The other interesting thing about this game, Ubley rushes for 220 yards on just 20 carries. So every carry they had was going for, you know, big yards every single time somebody touched the ball. So Memphis, not very good. Ubley, very good.
So obviously it was field position for Ubley on special teams to put them where they're at. So, you know, with that,
yeah,
just that many yards.
Memphis is just not good. And it was the right time for the fifth game of the season for Ubley to play this game because of Evan Peruski being banged up. There's other players that are banged up, so this was a good time to get those players rested. And because there's some big games coming up still, you know, towards the end of the season. And, you want to make sure that these guys are as healthy as they can be.
All right. So I'm going to – well, I guess JB's gone out. So he's left the phone call, got there to be
on. Bye, JB.
Okay. So I did ask you again about Bad Axe. Can Bad Axe challenge the Ubley Bearcats? I mean, they challenged Sandusky for a half there.
What was your question?
Can Bad Axe at least stave off Ubley for a half?
No. No.
Okay.
No. No.
just no.
Just
I,
know,
I can't
no.
put it any, yeah. any more clearer than that. No. No. Bad Axe is pretty banged up themselves. Mm. And, Ubley's going to overwhelm Bad Axe. Ubley is, I think, catching its second wind and really starting to, you know, push for the playoffs. So these next 4 weeks are all going to be building momentum. I think you saw Ubley's kind of low point was against Marlette, and they used that game as kind of a get things together, and they did. You know, they blew out Harbor Beach and obviously Memphis, and I think you're going to see Ubley just continue to gain momentum as the season goes on and as they go into the playoffs.
All right, so that's who Ubley has. Bad Axe, Marlette against Harbor Beach here, Mike. It was, it was close in the first half. 0-0.
That's as close as it can get, Eddie.
Can't get any closer than that.
Yeah.
But then Harbor Beach found its footing. It found its footing in the second half. And Harbor Beach gets to win 22-6 over Marlette. Kind of a disappointing loss here for Marlette. It seems like they were, you know, holding off Harbor Beach for the time being.
Yeah,
in that first half.
Yeah, not a terrible showing from Marlette, but it's tough, to be to hang with Ubley for a while and then see Ubley pull away, and then hang with, you know, Harbor Beach for a while and then see Harbor Beach pull away, because I do think that this is a very good Marlette team. They just couldn't put it together for four quarters against both teams. I think something that needs to be noted, Denny Lester in his email to us pointed out that Aaron Bauer was injured in the first quarter. He's a senior, he's a four-year varsity player, either three- or four-year varsity player, tight end, defensive end, and he's an integral part to both the offense and the defense. So when you lose him, that's a big loss. But credit to Harbor Beach. I know myself and a lot of other people were really expecting the Marlette to go up there and come away with the win. And if you're Harbor Beach, you give up one touchdown with 25 seconds left in the game. So you almost shut out a very good Marlette offense. So great showing from Harbor Beach. And if you're Marlette, it's time to get back to work. They're a little bit banged up. You know, they've had a tough stretch here with Ubley, Sandusky, and Harbor Beach. But, you know, they made it through, and now they have a nice stretch of games towards the end of the season here, so where they could pick up some wins.
We're at week five here, Paul. Just how banged up is Harbor Beach themselves?
I know that Benson Harper is dealing with something. Other than that, I mean, probably the normal bumps and bruises that everybody's dealing with, but Benson Harper dealing with something with his calf. He did play in this game, did have an interception. But for their success moving forward, you know, Benson Harper's going to be a big part of that. But, you know, one thing that stands out to me is the defense for Harbor Beach. If you take away the Ubley game, which they allowed 56 points, they've only allowed 45 points to their other four opponents. So they're giving up 11 points a game. So, you know, Harbor Beach is featured a pretty good defense with one game outstanding. So I think this is, you know, when you look at a score like this, 22-6, you know, you go back, they beat Cass City 28-14, Carter Mooney 22-13. So they've been doing just enough to get by and win these games. So, you know, with Sandusky coming in this week, I expect another, you know, pretty tight game. But this Harbor Beach defense, to me, has been a kind of a surprise, because all offseason we expected this to be an explosive offense. It really hasn't, but the defense has been really, really good if you take away the Ubley game.
All right, so Harbor Beach will have Sandusky. That's our game of the week. It'll be Sandusky at Harbor Beach this week. Marlette will have Memphis, and it'll be Bad Axe against Ubley in the Greater Thumb East. It's you got to beat Ubley, point blank. Any team that wants to get back in this, you got to beat Ubley or at least get a share or something right now.
Right.
So everybody has a loss in league play. Marlette has two in league play as well as
Marlette,
the Hatchets.
Marlette's out of the race, unfortunately. Yeah. Two losses in the East, that'll be the end of it for you.
And this is a critical game for Harbor Beach and Sandusky, as both teams, you know, fighting for that second place spot.
Yeah.
And then need help from each other.
The loser of that game is going to be out, and then everybody, you know, will turn their attention to October 6th when Ubley goes to Sandusky. That'll be the only opportunity for anybody, for either Harbor Beach or Sandusky, to get a share of the East, assuming that they win out their games, and Ubley were to slip up and lose that game. Otherwise, Ubley's going to win the Greater Thumb East outright.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll go into the Greater Thumb Wild West. Paul Adams, thank you.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Hey, where am I at in the pigskin picks, by the way? Am I near the basement?
You are not in contention, my friend.
I got some blood flow going.
Yeah, don't
you be. Are. I think you are below. You are below Mike Gallagher.
That's
bad.
Mike made a nice move this week.
Yeah, I did.
Mike made a nice move with 13 wins this week.
Not bad.
He made up a little bit of ground.
You didn't pick Marlette?
I did pick Marlette.
Okay.
I told you. I thought they were going to win. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Eddie, before we go to break,
go ahead.
To the West, Marlette, the final stretch here: Memphis, Bad Axe, Reese, Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes. I think Marlette should be the favorite in all those games. Reese is the one I'm not 100% sure about, because they had a very nice win last week and they've been playing better. But if you're Marlette, if you can finish a season 7-2 with two losses to Ubley and Harbor Beach, I think that's a pretty dang good regular season for Marlette. Then you have the opportunity to go into the playoffs. maybe get that rematch with Ubley, maybe get that rematch with Harbor Beach. But this is going to be a great opportunity for Marlette to build some momentum heading into the postseason.
151 yards rushing for Marlette in the game, as you pointed out. 10 first downs, 17 first downs for Harbor Beach. 43 carries for 278 yards for Harbor Beach.
Yep.
No passing yards. Marley had 77 passing yards. They did have a turnover. It was an interception. So
an early interception.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
That no passing yards is a key right there for Harbor Beach, because their passing game has been good, and that tells me that Benson Harper was being used pretty sparingly in that game. So hopefully he gets healthy, because he had a dynamic game against Ubley. And, you know, whatever success Harbor Beach has from this point going forward, Benson Harper is going to be a big part of that.
All right, we're going to have another team to talk about, the Sandusky Wolves, coming up next here as we take our break. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Hello, Mark McGeary here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
And welcome back to Sports Line. About 4.5 minutes here left to our 7 o'clock break, or we actually could go over I want at this point. We don't have a hard break. The Sandusky Wolves, a comeback win. I'm going to say comeback because it was a comeback here, Mike, over the Bad Axe Hatchets. Man, Sandusky seems to have some trouble the last three games here in some games here. You know, they did have the loss to Marlette. That was a costly loss.
Yeah.
But Marlette's a decent team out there. You can't look past them, and they just made some, you know, big plays. But Sandusky still continues to make plays, and Carter Krause is one of the big-time players right now.
Keeps scoring touchdowns, yeah.
But Sandusky gets the win. Very important win for them, as Bad Axe is in the Greater Thumb East. That was a 32-14 win for Sandusky. Big game this week at Harbor Beach for Sandusky. Our game of the week here on 92.5 FM WBGV, 6:30 p.m. for the pregame. Mikey Smith and myself will be covering that game. But let's talk about this game. Big win. Big yardage put up again by Sandusky with the, I'm going to say, the comeback victory here. So just great offensive yards, wing tee offense still a key here for Sandusky, which it has been for the last many several years since Craig Jacobson has been there as a head coach. 48 attempts, 289 yards.
That sounds about right for Sandusky, yep.
Four touchdowns, 39 carries for Bad Axe. Just as many carries as Sandusky, but the yardage limited to 138 yards.
Yep, that's a great job by the defense. Bad Axe was able to pick up some yards through the air. However,
154.
Not so much in the second half, though.
Yeah.
This was Bad Axe was up 14-8 at halftime, and in the second half, Bad Axe was shut out. So we kind of saw this in week one against Reese, and unfortunately we didn't have eyes on this game, but 16 points in the third, 8 in the fourth, and, you know, just put them away. They take care of business. Bad Axe, you know, a better team than, you know, I think Paul had mentioned that they're a team that's competitive in the East. But it's Sandusky. Sandusky with a just grinded out win. And again, it's Carter Kraus and it's Jackson Reinke. They both go over 100 yards. Kraus gets 132 on 18 carries. Jackson Reinke, 104 yards on 13 carries. And Chase Green, 49 yards on 8 attempts. And he had the first touchdown of the game in the first quarter. So Tyler Bush, another interception. That's 2 weeks in a row for him. So important stretch for Sandusky coming up, obviously. You got Ubley and Harbor Beach. You're sitting at 4-1. That Marlette loss is tough because, unfortunately, now you can't win the East outright. But you very well could get a share of the East. But you're going to have to go to Ubley or to Harbor Beach. And then you got Ubley at home before Caro and USA. So big stretch for Sandusky here.
This is going to be a battle on the line here tonight, or this coming Friday night also, for both teams. So both obviously been sticking to the running game. Harbor Beach goes as a spread if they have to. Haven't had too much throughout this whole season, much at all. Sandusky can pass if they have to. They do have some playmakers
for the
passing game.
Against Marlette,
Reese. Yeah.
Yep, and against Reese, yep. You know, Sandusky doesn't really want to get into that situation where they have to pass. I think you're going to have to against Harbor Beach. And, you know, Harbor Beach, you know, they can do both. They can run and pass. So it's going to be a tough challenge for the Sandusky defense. But the Sandusky defense has been playing pretty well this year outside of the Marlette game.
And controlled the second half. So good adjustments by the coaching staff and the team itself in the second half as they scored the three touchdowns, a two in the third quarter and the one in the fourth quarter for Sandusky also. Thank you to the assistant coach out there, Brandon Giebor, for sending us a stat report in also. Big shout out to him.
Yep.
And here on Daily Tribune, covering the game also, I believe, in this for Bad Axe Sandusky game.
Yeah. I believe
so,
it was
Tom Green.
Bad Axe homecoming. Yeah. So.
Was it Tom out there or somebody else?
I think it was Sean.
Sean Robinson.
Okay. Yep. Tom was, I don't know where Tom was at. Okay. I can't keep track of that guy.
Yeah. Greater Thumbies, big showdown. It's a key game here for Sandusky. You know, you hate to look back, but they were in that game against Marlette and just kind of slipped away, and you know, to get that one loss in league play.
Yeah,
they just got to go out and they have to win out.
Right.
They got Harbor Beach and then Ubley. So, yeah.
Yep.
At this point.
Yep. And Marlette offensively played pretty much a perfect game that night, so you can't really take anything away from Sandusky. But again, everything's still in front of you. You know, Harbor Beach, Ubley, and then Caro USA. I would think that Sandusky would be favored in the Caro and USA games. So, you know, this is a playoff team.
All right, overall, Ubley's still the undefeated team in Greater Thumb East. They are 5-0. 4-1 is the Harbor Beach Pirates, as well as the Sandusky Wolves. 2-3 are the Bad Axe Hatchets, Marlette Red Raiders at 3-2, and 1-4 are the Memphis Yellow Jackets. And again, the Greater Thumb East games this week, it is Harbor Beach hosting Sandusky, our game of the week on 92.5. Marlette against Memphis, and Bad Axe up against Ubley, also in the Greater Thumb East. All right, our top of the hour news and information is coming away. We'll be right back after the news and weather forecast. Talk about the Greater Thumb Wild West. Scott Bosby's going to be calling in.
Yeah, let's get Scotty B in here. So, we got to talk some Millington, too.
Right, we will be right back in about, 6 minutes here.
6 minutes, okay.
WMIC 92.5 FM for our Game of the Week. Sandusky at Harbor Beach. We'll be right back here on WMIC for Thumb Sports Line.
You're on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM W237EQ Sandusky.
For more than 75 years, the VA Home Loan Benefit has helped millions of eligible veterans and service members achieve their piece of the American dream, a home for their families. Did you know that you could purchase a home or refinance your current home loan with your VA Home Loan Benefit? VA Home Loans have lower closing costs and generally enjoy lower interest rates than other borrowers. The VA Home Loan may save you thousands of dollars on your mortgage. For more information, visit www.va.gov or talk to a lender of your choice. Choose VA.
And welcome back to Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I am Eddie Fury, along with Mike Gallagher of the Sand Lake County Sports Department, editor, writer, reporter. You also report on regular news, too, don't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
I try and avoid it, but...
Oh, boy. And then one guy we can't avoid is Scotty B. Scott Mosby, Sandusky native, now a Carroll Homestead with the Tuscola County Advertiser, and a guy who loves to laugh at my stupid jokes.
Always. That's everybody.
I'm here to bring some information to you guys.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Okay, here we are. We're talking about the Greater Thumb Wild West, but Scotty B has some drama for us. What do we got?
Oh, no, I'm not. I can't talk about that.
He didn't say drama.
Oh, okay.
Nix that. But no, I was listening to you guys, obviously. And
Thank you.
I actually just did
some. One listener.
I know, right? Every now and then out there, guys. I just did some investigating myself. Holly Broncos became the Holly Broncos in 1945. They chose that name because they wanted to be the Broncos, and apparently using an H in the 40s for Bronco was popular.
Okay.
Hmm.
And it stuck ever since then, and they said that it flows better with the fight song, B-R-O-N-C-H-O-S.
So that is an accepted spelling?
That was intended, yeah. They said that that was a version of Bronco. Yeah, they said the correct spelling of Bronco in the 40s, or the most popular spelling of it, was with an H. So that's when it became popular. It came down to the Red Cardinal or the Bronco. And they, I guess, reached out to other schools around them to find out who had what. And the Bronco wasn't being used. So they went. This is the best part of the whole story. This is from the Tri-City Times. It says that the girls and boys voted separately. The boys wanted the wild, untamed Bronco. As the girls wanted more of a prettier mascot with the Red Cardinal. And the male population out was larger than the female population, so the Bronco was voted in.
Wow. Women will rule the world someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that what we're dealing with now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in my household, in my household, yes.
Yeah, so. Mine too, yeah. So,
Scotty, but, when you get pie crust and you're supposed to make chicken pot pie, your wife is supposed to tell you how many, right? Not for you to guess.
Don't side with Eddie.
Side with me.
You never guess, because that's just a death sentence.
Yeah. See, Eddie guessed. He didn't ask.
I'll text her, and I'll be like, hey, what about this? She's like, what, are you stupid? Like, obviously, you figured it out yourself. And I'm like, well, if I don't do it, then I'm going to get yelled at. When I do contact her to make sure everything's good, I get yelled at. It can't win either way. I've learned that.
Today's National Daughters Day today, by the way. So,
there you go.
Yeah. National Comic Book Day today.
Yeah, and what about a happy birthday to Scott Bowlesby?
I did. I texted him out there.
He did.
Yeah. Well, on air.
You know. Oh, on air? Well, yeah. How old are you, Scotty?
I'm 36.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm feeling it.
Are you? Yeah. Well, you're a father, too.
I woke up yesterday complaining about pain. And
okay.
Yeah.
When you have your first kid, add 5 years. The second one, add 10. So. Yeah.
So he's like 80 years old.
Yeah. All right. The Greater Thumb West. What was that?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Wild West. Okay, there's not much wild.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
All right.
Kind of the mild West, unfortunately.
Cass City shutting out Unionville Seaboing 46-0. The Red Hawks flying high right now after us, after a stumble in week two. With their loss to Harbor Beach 28-14, and they picked things right back up after week three, and they've had full command of this Greater Thumb West so far.
Yeah, you know, that's a game that, you know, when I talked to the coaches 2 weeks ago, they still say to this day that's a game that they wish they could have back. That was one that just slipped through their fingers. You know, good win by Harbor Beach, but man, that was a tough loss for Cass City in that game. But you know, another, I guess, thing to point out as well, Carter Patrick, starting quarterback, is out right now. His younger brother, Trent Patrick, is starting at quarterback. But they don't miss a beat, and they go on to win 46-0. Riker Wallace, 4 touchdowns against Reese a week ago, gets 3 touchdowns on the ground against USA on Friday, 74 yards rushing. So the run game really controls this offense. Obviously, Carter Patrick is a huge piece to it because he is that, you know, game manager. He keeps everybody in line, I guess, that senior leadership. But Trent Patrick did what he had to do, you know, snap the ball and hand it off to one of the multiple backs in the backfield. But, yeah, they had, let's see here, they had one, two, three, four different running backs getting into the end zone the other day. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, I remember a day and age where we didn't talk about, you know, Cassidy ever throwing the ball and just running it constantly. And now they have the option to throw the ball, but Carter Patrick out right now. I was told at least 2 weeks. So hopefully that's it.
Well, since you talked to the coaches, since that loss to Harbor Beach, do they feel they're playing a lot better since that game, and they learned a lot from that game against Harbor Beach?
From what I got from them, yeah, to a point. Like, I think they're still playing like they, you know, they were, but I feel like there's some mental errors. The way that they talk, they don't really, you know, they say, you know, we learn, you know, we obviously would love that one back, but I definitely feel like they have really tightened up on their play. And, you know, like Mike said with Sandusky, a lot of it's still in front of them. Well, obviously you lose to Harbor Beach, can't dwell on it too long because they still have Laker coming up, albeit, you know, Laker's down this year. It's still Laker Cassidy. It's still a rivalry game. They still have Ubley on the schedule. So, you know, they still got some tough opponents coming up. I can't remember who MLS. Second MLS is their non-conference in week number nine. Yeah. So, you know, that Laker game obviously is huge as far as conference implications go. Yeah, I mean, they go to Vassar this week. Vassar struggling big time this year. And then they finish up the season with Laker, Ubley, and MLS. So, you know, I'm interested to see if they can hit that stride down the stretch and, you know, take advantage of a couple of those games. And I know Ubley's tough, but, you know, Cassidy's been known to play them tough. So we'll see what they can do. It's going to be a fun end of the regular season for the Redhawks.
All right, you mentioned the Elkton Pitcher Bayport Lakers, who Cassidy will battle in 2 weeks. Basically, that could be the Greater Thumb West League title. Lakers winning over Carroll 49-12. We knew there was going to be some growing pains in the first year for Rob McDaniels as he tries to turn this Carroll team. But I'm kind of happy to see Carroll score 12 points against the Lakers despite the loss.
Yeah, and Carroll opens up the game with a scoop and score on a fumble recovery. I mean, they didn't, you know, they came right out and they scored points right away. And, you know, I got a little overzealous on the air and I said, well, that's huge for Carroll. I mean, and it is huge for Carroll coming out of the gate like that, scoring points on Laker. You know, not giving up. Obviously, the final wasn't pretty, but as you said, they did score 12 points on them. You know, they kept playing, and they didn't hang their heads. They didn't give up. They didn't just say, you know what, we're done. They went out there. They scored one last touchdown in the fourth quarter. Logan McGarry, one of your senior captains, went out there and broke off a little 9-yard run to get pay dirt. But, you know, Jay Sears, you know, I can't say enough about the kid. He went through two tough weeks to begin the season against Ubley and Millington. He's getting right back up. 159 yards rushing against Carroll. He threw for 71 yards as well. He had one, two, three, four touchdowns on the night. So he's just a gamer, man. He's just a phenomenal athlete. I just wish Laker had a couple more pieces around him than they would. They'd be on a lot more conversations, but, you know, it's kind of really the Jay Sears season right now, so for Laker. But, you know, he's a heck of an athlete, that's for sure.
Scott, we, as you know, we've kind of adopted Carroll as one of our own teams this year since our buddy Rob McDaniels coaching there.
Yeah.
Carroll's sitting at 2-3 right now. They have USA, Reese, Sandusky, Mount Morris. Is this a team that's going to be able to sneak into the playoffs or no?
I don't know if they're going to be able to sneak into the playoffs this season. I do, and this is me playing favoritism towards Carroll because, you know, they're kind of I call them the lovable loser, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean year in and year out, they're losing games, but you're still kind of rooting for them. You're like, all right, Carroll, let's get back on track. You know, let's do it. I do think they do pick up a win this week against USA. Reese team and Sandusky game, that's going to be tough. Reese is, like you said, Mike, a little bit earlier, Reese playing a lot better right now. Sandusky's having a great season right now, running the ball. Carroll has had trouble stopping the run.
Mm-hmm.
That Mount Morris game, I really think they could pick up a win. So I think they could go 2-2 over their last four games and get, you know, some confidence, get some momentum, you know, and finish out the season, 4-5. Obviously, to most, it doesn't sound like a successful season. But when your last 4-5 season came in 2018,
mm-hmm.
I think you would take it at this point. I mean, I really do. I think that Carroll is looking a lot better. And if you look at, if you watched him compared to a couple years ago, just completely different. I mean, they look well coached. They look like they have an idea of their formation. They look like they have an identity. They look like they have a reason to be on the field. Like the players know why they're on the field. Mm-hmm. And that was one of Coach Rob's, biggest things coming in. I know, Mike, you know him really well. So he wanted the kids to know why they're on the field. He wanted them to have, you know, a job, an identity. So, I'm going to say to finish out the season, they're going to go 2-2, finish out 4-5, miss out on the playoffs, but they could, you know, a win over Reese, 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, that Memphis game, obviously some playoff points there, but it's definitely an uphill battle right now for Carroll. But again, like I said, 4-5 is not a bad go of it in Coach McDaniel's first season.
Absolutely.
So speaking of Reese, they have Lakers this week. You say Reese seems to be on the rebound after their win over Vassar 45-6. They did lose the Cass City 38-6. Can Reese challenge the Lakers?
Whew.
You stopped the best player, and that's Jay Sears.
Man, we're hitting Scott with some tough ones tonight.
Yeah.
Jason Parmentier also pointed out that Jay Sears, last three games from Varsity Monthly? 500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. We did get to see Reese, all three of us, actually, early on against Sandusky. And, you know, that first half Reese comes to play against Laker, absolutely. Like, I think all day that they can contend. I just want them to play four full quarters. It looks like, you know, Luke Fokol led the team against Vassar the other night on the road, homecoming. So hopefully, you know, they can pick up something off that and go out and get a victory. Laker, Carroll, Marlette and Lakeville to finish out the season for Reese. They're sitting at 2-3 right now. They're another team where you can look at them and say, okay, you know, could they sneak into the playoffs? Could they finish out with a winning record after starting the season, 1-2? I definitely think that they have a good chance to do it. They're playing right now, playing really well, and I think it's going to be a battle against Laker coming up this week for them, and then obviously the Carroll game, and Marlette and Lakeville to finish it out. So,
all right, Cass.
That'll be.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it'd be a good battle.
All right, Cassidy up against Vassar this week. Carroll against Unionville Sebring. Highlight game of the Greater Thumb West will be Lakers up against Reese also in week six. Can you believe it? Week six is here.
We're already talking playoffs, too.
The autumn wind. Yeah. Is finally here also.
Yeah.
What a beautiful night, by the way, on Friday night. Wasn't it just a fantastic night for a game?
Perfect night,
So, and we had a great
weekend
also.
I wouldn't know. Millington still has an installed removable windows.
Oh.
Ooh.
Calling you out, Christian.
Yeah, I hope Christian's listening,
Speaking of Millington, we'll talk about that real quick when we come back and head into eight-player football after this break here on Sportsline Radio. We'll be right back.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. We've had a great summer, and I would like to thank the many volunteers who work so hard to make our area festivals and the Sanlac County 4-H Fair a big success. Now that fall is here, and the children are back in school, be sure to drive safely and watch for the youngsters as they walk to and from school. There's no question about it, it's getting colder and the furnace is clicking on during the night. And if you are a customer of Kohler's Propane, you don't have to worry about whether the furnace will click on. We've got you covered with Keep Full Delivery, our price cap programs, and our guaranteed price for one full year. If you are not a current Kohler's customer, now is the time to make sure you stay warm this winter. Contact Kohler's Propane, a locally owned company serving you for 74 years. Call 800-572-2191 or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline, Thumb Sportsline Radio, and high school sports show recapping Week 5 action in high school football. Our game of the week, can I reiterate, is Sandusky at Harbor Beach on WBGV 92.5 FM. And, you know, I think I'm going to go check out the eight-player football game with Deckerville and Kingston. That's a Saturday game, and we'll get to that game in just a bit and recap of Deckerville and Kingston also. Let's bring in Millington. They are in our Thumb Sports Warriors voting selection. They're in the Thumb area team, the lone thing team that's been in the Tri-Valley Conference for so long until next year, you know, when they come into our fold officially here.
They'll be the bullies of the Big Thumb Conference.
Yeah. I voted them number two in this week's poll.
I noticed they moved up a little bit this week. I was wondering. Yeah.
I mean, that was a good win against Standish Sterling. I'm going by week of the games, you know, who I think was the better team that week. And, you know, I picked, I mean, they've been right there with Ubley and whoever the top BWAC team it might have been. For the last several. Scotty, tell me your take on the Millington team. You covered this game against Standish Sterling. What a great game. 21-20 win for Millington.
Yeah, and if you look back, they recently became conference foes 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? Was it 2020? I don't know. 2020 was the year that they became conference foes. The first game, 2020, it was an 18-6 game. Millington wins. 2021, Millington wins 21-8, a little bit of separation. Then you go into last year, Standish Sterling wins the first game 28-24. Millington gets them 14-12, and then this year 21-20. So a small tear dropped from my eye when that game finished, because these games have been so exciting the past couple of years. They're going to be going their separate ways. Standish Sterling joining the Jack Pine Conference next year. Millington coming over to the Big Thumb Conference. So that game will not be happening as far as conference action goes, and I don't think they have each other scheduled for the foreseeable future in non-conference. I would love to see them meet up again. Just an absolute battle. It was just a fun game to call, a fun game to watch as just a fan, too. I mean, they went back and forth. Your winning touchdown, Dallas Walsh Jr., got stopped at the line right at the goal line. Second little surge, he was able to just reach across and get the touchdown. It was just a fun game. Ian Crump, not a great night throwing the ball, but he did what he had to do. Threw for 141 yards for one touchdown. He was 8 of 25 though. So you don't really like to see those big gaps in completions and attempts, but he did throw an interception in the game. So a little different, but again, it was a huge atmosphere game. Bryce Martin had four receptions, 103 yards, and a touchdown. If you've never seen Bryce Martin, he's all about 5'4", 5'5". He's a phenomenal golfer and a heck of a wide receiver. When you see him, you don't think that the kid could get hit that hard, but he takes some licks and he keeps going and gets some big touchdowns. So it was again, another fun game. And you know, Millington looking good right now. Their defense looks really good. And they're sitting at 5-0, and they at least get a share of the Tri-Valley Conference Blue Division. That's their last hurrah in this conference. So asked them on Friday if they know what to feel, you know, how important was it to win at least a share of the conference. They said, you know, it's nice to be able to go out on top. So, they're not done yet. They're looking forward. They're looking for some big matchups still. That you have Midland Bullet Creek, who's still on there. You know, record doesn't really shine. 3-2, 1-1 in the conference, but they are a tough squad. They pushed Dan Sterling to a 14-7 game. So Millington's job is not done, but they're looking good right now, especially in Division 7 this year.
So from there, what division do they fall into this year for playoffs? Do you know? I know
Division
Snooze.
Division 7.
Division 7?
Division 7. Okay. Yeah.
So they're in the same
division. Hey, go ahead.
So where would Lakers be this year? Because I know Division 8, obviously, ugly.
Yep, Lakers is Division 7 as well.
Okay, just wondering.
The latest updates from Snooze is it'd be Laker versus Millington, Sandusky versus Cass City in the first round of the district.
Mm-hmm. A little preview of the Big Thumb.
Yeah, so this is solid? This is a solid what these teams are going to be? Because sometimes things happen, you know.
Oh, it's very early to be looking at playoff projections. Yeah, I mean, we're just a bunch of weirdos, and we have to look at them every week.
We get excited after week four when they come out.
After week one.
Yeah.
We're waiting for Snooze to drop his first ones every
Snooze
year.
Snooze woke up from hibernation after week four, right, is when it started happening, or week three?
Yeah. Week four, I think, right?
Yeah.
Week three.
Like the big old bear he was, he came out of his cave and said, here we go.
We thank him very much for what he does.
Mapatology. So, all right.
Yeah, thank God for him.
All right. We get back to things here. Thumb Sports Line Radio. We'll get to 8-player football coming up next here. And we got to be done before 8, or right around 8, because Little Fury needs to be picked up from Zorba Kenno from her job. Okay. So, all right.
Yeah, can't leave her hanging.
Homecoming court. All right.
Homecoming queen.
I don't know. That's a stretch.
Calling it.
That's an upset there, and that's a big stretch there. Sorry.
God. No.
Her roots are not dug deep at CPS yet. Okay. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
It's September. The leaves are beginning to change, the evenings are cooler, and Friday nights mean high school football. At Thumb Cellular, we're celebrating this special time of year by sharing some great savings with you. During the month of September, all Samsung Galaxy phones are on sale, with some marked down $450 from their regular retail price. But that's not where the savings end. They're also hosting an accessory sale. Spend $30 on any combination of accessories and save $10. Take your pick of chargers, cases, wireless speakers, headsets, screen protectors, and more. If it's an accessory at Thumb Cellular, you'll save $10 when you spend $30. But hurry, these savings are only valid during the month of September. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more info, or visit your local office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Offers valid through September 30th, 2023.
Can't wait to communicate with you on the talk of the phone.
All right, welcome back to Sports Line. Bringing out the big guns of Scotty B back here with us to talk 8-player football along Mike Gallagher of the Sandlot County News Sports Section, coming out on Wednesday. The edition for Tuscola County Advertiser Saturday and Wednesdays. Get your online subscription. Please support your sports writers, or there's no sports for you. And the state of news media right now, you got to have these guys to support them.
Got to have us.
And thank you to Paul Adams from the Huron County View and Jonathan Bisher. Oh, by the way, our Thumb Toe Getter website is down.
Oh, no.
We're moving to a new host. We're getting it set up there. So it will be back. Oh, actually, it's back already. All right. Oh, it's already back.
They work fast there.
Adam Filkins, our computer guru, getting it back up. So thank you to him out there also. All right. So, Scotty B, let's get into high school 8-player football. Mayville Wildcats undefeated. Goldie Hahn, man, she seems like... she's really peeling off in this Mayville Wildcat team. But besides that, team's playing really well. They got some key players out there also. But, man, they had a tough game against the KPEC Chiefs. Tell me what's behind that story.
Yeah, so starting quarterback Jace Brown went out with an injury in the first half. But he did come back and finish the game. But still, you know, looking at the stats, KPAC played a really tough game against them. Jace was 6 of 10 for 56 yards passing. He did have a touchdown, but he also threw two picks. Backup quarterback Luca Campbell, he threw for 26 yards. He also had a pick as well. So nice job defensively. Maybe the Deckerville game taught KPAC something about running pass defense, but they did a fantastic job. Luca Campbell, though, the backup quarterback, he came in, moved from the wide receiver position to the quarterback position. So, of course, he ran the ball a lot. 15 carries, 164 yards, and a score. And then the defense, you know, really set up. Brady Hoke, 16 tackles. Zach Lang made 11 tackles. You know, I talked to Coach Campbell on the phone this morning, and, you know, we were just talking about everything. And he says, you know, the offensive line has been playing great. The defensive line has been playing great. Our linebackers have been playing great. He's like, but we're going to quickly learn how great we're really playing here in this stretch, as they do have Brown City this week, Deckerville next week, and they cap it off against Kingston in week number 8. Oh. So it's going to be – it's one of those ones where, you know, you're going to constantly have to, you know, fight your way. And this is who you have to play and who you have to beat in order to reach the top in the Stars division. And it's not an easy feat by any means. So, yeah, it'll be interesting being out there to check that game out. And see what they have for Brown City. And then again, like I said, they get Deckerville the next week, and then they cap it off with their rival Kingston. So no easy feat.
For KPAC, give them credit, 133 yards rushing, 24 yards passing. The key thing for them was they were leading 14-8 in the third quarter. Nolan Mayday, a 17-yard pass from Carlos Uribe, but it was a failed two-point conversion that they could not capitalize on. And Mayville, they got their two-point conversion with a 12-yard pass in the fourth quarter to win 16-14. Yep. So it would be a tie game, likely to go in overtime. We've seen some crazy things happen there. But I want to point out that KPAC continuously, despite the record, sends the stat report to me week after week. They are on Huddle, by the way, but for the coach to continue to send it. They enjoy being in the eight-player NCTL league also. So,
and they just seem like they're close to breaking through. It's ridiculous. Yeah. One of these weeks, they're going to do it. They were a team last year. We saw the first couple weeks. They were a good team.
Against Deckerville in the first
almost,
half.
Almost made a statement beating Deckerville early on in the season. But KPAC's going to keep plugging away. The Stars is just tough, man. It's hard to break into the conversation in the Stars. But they're gonna get their win. I can feel it.
I was just going to say, if you look at their last, three of the last four games, other than the Deckerville game, they're right there. I mean, 14-6 against Atherton, 30-28 against Oakland Christian, 16-14 against Mayville. They could easily be a 4-1 team right now.
Oh, man, that's so tough.
And they could have had this win against Mayville, and it just kind of slipped out. So kind of right back into the discussion here. All right, the Kingston Cardinals played on Thursday. They shut out the Dryden Cardinals, 58-0 final score. You know, this is coming off the win over Burton Atherton back in week 4 also. And they had that loss back in week 3, the Brown City, 38-20. That score, you know, within 18 points against Brown City. How's Kingston doing health-wise right now? I mean, it's a good win against Dryden. This week, they're going to have a tough go at it on a Saturday evening against Deckerville. But Kingston, how are they feeling right now?
Good. As far as I know, haven't heard any bad negative injury reports. Owen Corliss played against Dryden, was 2 of 2 passing for 64 yards and a score. He also rushed the ball 3 times for 68 yards and 2 scores. Tanner James had 86 yards rushing as he led the team with 3 touchdowns, and Nick Cummings had a rushing touchdown as well. So as far as I know, and according to this report, everybody's healthy. Shout out real quick to Miles Spencer, the senior. 3 sacks in that game, all in the first quarter. And then apparently they figured out how to block him. And then just defensively, they did a great job. A couple interceptions, usual suspects on that. Isaiah Helton got an interception, and see this. I say usual suspects, and now I can't even figure out who the other person was that.
Just say a Corliss or a James.
I think it was Corliss.
Yeah.
No, it was Tanner James. I apologize.
Okay, a Corliss or a
Nick
James.
Cummings had one as well. So okay. They had three interceptions. So, yeah, you were right. Tanner James did have one. But, yeah, and this is, again, a team that could go up against Brown City again in the postseason. You know, projections right now have them meeting up in the first round. A lot can still happen, obviously. Some shakeups, maybe going into a tough three-game stretch. So nothing set in stone. We saw last year Deckerville got a second chance against Kingston and got the win and when it counted the most. So you just never know what could happen. And I'm excited to see Saturday, kind of gauge a little bit where Kingston stands right now after that early season loss against Brown City.
29 carries, 267 total rushing yards for Kingston in their win against Dryden also. Kingston will meet up against Deckerville. I do believe they are hosting them this year.
Yep, it's homecoming this
Kingston
year.
And I'm looking at that game, the cover. I think either for Thumbtail Gator or Sand Lake Broadcast, they haven't decided yet. So I got to find a partner for, it's a Saturday night. So, things happen. I wish this game was in the early afternoon hours. Why in the evening on Saturday here, Scotty?
Because it's homecoming. They wanted everything to stay basically the same. And
is a dance at night too there, I suppose?
What's that?
I guess there is a homecoming dance right after the game, I suppose? Or
I would imagine so, yeah. Something of that nature on a Saturday. So they probably just go right into the cafeteria there. But, yeah, that was basically the biggest thing is they wanted everything to stay the same as far as homecoming festivities with the parade and everything. But, I would have loved to have it a little bit earlier in the day, but I think the last time these two teams played at night on a Saturday night at Kingston was pretty thrilling, despite the downpour that we got towards the end of the game.
Great game.
That was the game where Bob said that Eddie was talking smack about me on the radio.
What?
Yeah, and all you said, and I was like, what did he say? He goes, oh, look, there's Scott Bowlesby down there. And I was like, Bob, that's not really talking smack. He was talking about you, though.
Okay.
I heard about that for months after.
Let's dive into Deckerville. Speaking of Deckerville, tough win and battle here, but they got the win 44-30 over Auburn Hills Oakland Christian here, Mike Gallagher. Oof. And this is who Kingston and Deckerville, a big battle, critical game for both teams.
Yeah, it's with Deckerville this year, it's hard to figure them out. They've been doing so many different things offensively, and every week it's something different. We've seen them win games through the air. We've seen them win games, running the ball. This week, it was kind of a mixture. It was a nice balance of passing in the first half and then going to that ground game in the second half. What we haven't really seen a lot of this year, though, is Hunter Garza running the ball. He's the quarterback for Deckerville, and they haven't needed him to run the ball very often. He has that ability. But when I talked to Coach Bill Brown today, he said, it's kind of what Oakland Christian was giving us. He said they put Garza in shotgun, gave him a little bit of space to work. He finishes the game with 265 rushing yards and three touchdowns on 36 carries. Now that's your quarterback going for 36 carries. So this Deckerville offense, it can do so much and it can do so many different things where, okay, if you want to load the box and take away Dylan Ball, then we're going to throw it over the top. And if you're going to give Hunter Garza space, he can take it. And he's not – it's he has that ability. They haven't needed him to do that yet this season. But really, just a gutty win for Deckerville. I had to double-check this, but this was the first road game of the season for Deckerville.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So you go on the road, you go 2 hours away. This game was played at Clarkston High School, which is a turf field. And so a pretty tough road test for Deckerville. And then you go into halftime, you're down 18-6. So that final score, I mean, you score 14 in the third quarter and then 24 in the fourth. By the sounds of it, the Deckerville offensive line just wore down Oakland Christian. Great win for Deckerville. They did what they needed to do. Garza was able to hit on some passes as well. Parker Merriman had three catches for 85 yards and two touchdowns. He had the touchdown in the first half. This is one of the most Deckerville stat lines. It's we every year it's Deckerville running. This year it's a little bit more passing. This week, Deckerville 70 rushes for 438 yards. That's Deckerville football right there. And it's going to be a tough test with Kingston. When Corliss was healthy last year in the regular season game, they had a lot of trouble stopping him. Granted, this team is a year older. This defense is a year older. But again, other than the Brown City game a couple weeks ago, nobody's been able to stop Corliss. So that'll be the big one. You know, I don't know if Deckerville would necessarily like to get into a shootout with Kingston, but I think they have that ability this year to do so.
Okay, that is the North Central Thumb League Stars Division. Other teams in Week 5, Brown City over Burton Atherton 38-16. Another good win there for Brown City, to so far still remain undefeated and number one in the TSA poll. Burton Atherton scored some points on them, though, you know?
Yeah, and Burton Atherton's another one of those teams in the Stars where it seems like they've had some good games and they've had the opportunity to break through. They just haven't been able to put it all together. But while we're talking about Brown City, let me just run down the stats real quick. This game was 30-16 at halftime. So, you know, you add one more score in the fourth quarter. Lawson Cooper, 5-9, 64 yards and a touchdown. The running game was a little more spread out this week. Breyer Halbert, 98 yards on 12 carries. Connor Vandenberg, 97 yards on 10 carries. Lawson Cooper, two more touchdowns on the ground. He had 53 yards on 10 carries. And then Ethan Worrell, at the end of the game, he had the last touchdown and two-point conversion. So, again, you know, we've been saying it every week. Brown City has a lot of different options on offense. They're rolling right now, and they're going to have to keep it up. You know, you're sitting at 5-0, off to a great start. Mayville, you know, that could be a tricky game because Mayville's also sitting at 5-0. So you can't look past Mayville. Oakland Christian after that, when I was talking to Coach Brown, he had mentioned that Oakland Christian brought back two of their best players from injury against Deckerville. He didn't mention that as an excuse, but he just, you know, mentioned that. And so Oakland Christian's a team that's going to be better towards the end of the season. I know I talked about KPAC breaking through for that win. I don't think it'll be against Brown City, but that'll be a tough game. And then kind of a sneaky tough game, Bay City All Saints Week 9. But if you're Brown City, you have an opportunity to go undefeated. Yeah. Now, you can't look past any of these teams, obviously, but
they do have a big game against Mayville this week, so it's a big, critical game. So.
But, you know, with all the success that they had last year and all the big wins that they had, they didn't go undefeated, and I think that's something that they would like to do this year to kind of cement themselves as one of the top teams in the Thumb when it comes to eight-player football. So I'm looking forward to listening Scott call the Brown City Mayville game. I think it'll be a great game. It'll be a good test for Brown City to see how they can match up with a player like Jace Brown.
So. All right. And so in week six, it's KPAC versus Dryden. Deckerville.
There's KPAC's win.
Yeah.
There it is.
Deckerville versus Kingston. Brown City versus Mayville. Scotty, that's your game of the week. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian up against Burton Atherton this week also. Looking in week nine, we could have, if Bay City All Saints went out and then Brown City wins out, we have the NCTL Conference Championship game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, yeah.
All Saints are able to win out and hang on to that. So very cool at the end of the season there to see the two top teams in the NCTL Stars and Stripes if they both remain undefeated.
Yeah,
at that
Akron Fairgrove's winning the Stripes. So
that's right.
Sound the horn.
Oh, boy. We'll get to that when we come back here on Thumb Sports Line Radio.
Hello, Mark McGarry here for More Motor Sales in Caro. It's that time of year. The kids are back to school and the days are getting shorter. Pretty soon it will be hunting season, and what better way to start off the season but with a brand new F-150 or Ram truck from More Motor Sales in Caro. We have the best selection of new F-150s, Super Duties, new Ram trucks, combined at one location. Hurry in today for your best selection. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Caro.
Happy 65th birthday!
Here's a cake!
Here's a book!
Here's a tie!
And here's your paperwork to fill out your Medicare supplement insurance.
No, here's a card for Grant Smith. His health insurance agency specializes in those issues dealing with Medicare.
Don't get frustrated by all the different options for Medicare supplement insurance policies. It doesn't cost a penny more to have me and my staff help you find the proper coverage to fit your needs.
Call Grant Smith today.
By the way, happy birthday.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
All right, and welcome back to Thumb Sportsline. Enter the Sandman himself, because he occasionally visited Port Austin when he was the Kindy Kid. Paul Adams back with us. And, man, the Caseville High School football team obviously has been doing their up-downs on the beach there, but came up short in overtime. What a fantastic game. We're going to talk about the NCAA Stripes division as the Akron Fairgrove Vikings got the win 46-40 in overtime over the Caseville Eagles. Gotta play the horn. Gotta play the horn. All right, Paul Adams, you wanted to talk about this game. Man, I give credit.
Man.
I give credit to Caseville, man. They're a team that you gotta look out for. No matter what in the NCAA, especially in the Stripes division. But the Akron Fairgrove Vikings got the win in overtime, 46-40, your final score. Let's talk about this game. Go ahead.
Yeah, full disclosure, this is probably not a game I would have went to, but I had kind of a free schedule this past week, a variety of games, and you know, it kind of ended up on this one, and honestly, I couldn't have picked a better game to go to because it's one of the craziest games I've ever been to. I've never seen such a back and forth swing of momentum, penalties, turnovers, fans getting flags, players getting ejected. This game had absolutely everything you could ask for. Unfortunately, it did have injuries too. Nathan Feltner for Caseville got injured in the third quarter on a 2-point conversion after his fifth touchdown of the day. So he didn't play in the fourth quarter. I saw a 70-yard punt in an NCTL game, which, I mean, you don't see that very often. It was absolutely bonkers. Great performances. The Akron Fairgrove quarterback, Colton, I'm not going to try his last name, but
Karpovich.
He was fantastic. There you go. He was fantastic in this game. Isaac Squires took two kickoffs back in the third quarter, which and it all boils down to 46-40 in overtime. It was a fantastic game to see. It was too bad. I mean, I had picked Akron Fairgrove, but the pigskin picks were out the window at that point because I really wanted to see Caseville get another win on, and this would have been on homecoming. So, but it wasn't to be. But as you said, Caseville, or as you said, Eddie, you know, Caseville is, they're not the easy game on anybody's schedule anymore. They really showed a lot of fight and character in this game, and it was a lot of fun to be there and see.
With this injury though for Feltner, who's obviously, what, the best player on the team?
Yeah.
Oh, he's one of the best players. In that conference.
Yeah.
And I did get an update on him today. It was the left shoulder. They're calling it a sprain. Not sure on his status against New Haven Merritt this week. But it's just a crying shame to see him go out because at the time that he went out, that gave Caseville a 34-32 lead in the third quarter, which was erased by Isaac Squire's kickoff return, second kickoff return. But it was a shame to see him go out, because I really believe had he played in the fourth quarter, Caseville wins this game going away. But I give a lot of credit to Caseville. Their defense was fantastic. It really came down to flipping field. Dylan Band unleashed a 70-yard punt, which pinned Akron Fairgrove very deep into their territory. And then the Caseville defense came up with not one but two stops. And on the second stop, they eventually scored the game-tying touchdown. Quarterback Ryan Bond scored that to force overtime. So, in a third quarter that featured five touchdowns, the fourth quarter only has one, and that had a lot to do with Caseville's defense. And Caseville had every reason, after Nathan Feltner goes down, to believe, well, there's our guy. Just scored five touchdowns in this game. Game's over. But that, to me, shows that Coach Sam Rogers has really turned things around at Caseville, and the mentality has shifted. Even though this was a loss, a couple of years ago, Caseville suffers an injury like that, they're going to get beat by 20. Instead, they buckled down and they tied the game and forced overtime. That tells me that things are heading in the right direction for Caseville.
All right, so Akron Fairgrove moves on to take on Ashley. Ashley losing in a North Huron 26-20. Curious game there. But hey, North Huron gets their second win of the season, so a good win there for North Huron despite their down year.
Well, it's a fantastic win for North Huron. I got a little information on that one, too. Griffin Shapinski had his breakout game of the season, had 123 yards rushing. He had a 73-yard touchdown run. Shapinski also threw for a 25-yard touchdown. Landon Murgis had 96 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And Caleb Anishevsky had a rushing touchdown and caught a touchdown. So, this is two in a row for North Huron. They host Peck for homecoming this week. In the last 10 games that North Huron's faced Peck, they're 9-1 against the Pirates. Ooh. With the lone loss in there coming last year. So, recent history has been on North Huron's side, and all of a sudden, after a really horrible 0-3 start to the season, North Huron's got a chance to even its record. And no offense, Mike, but I'm rolling with the Warriors in this one. I think they have a lot of momentum built up and kind of figuring their stuff out. So, this was a good win, because this was an Ashley team that absolutely dismantled Peck just a week before. And I understand that, that Ashley suffered an injury in that game. But nonetheless, North Huron goes on the road. That's a really good road win for the Warriors.
Okay. And then the Bay City All Saints late a Miami Dolphins 70-plus points on Peck, 74-8. The hold on to the, tie with Akron Fairgrove for the NCTL Stripes Division lead. Mike, a lot of points scored there against the Peck Pirates. Kind of reeling there. Offensively, I saw the stat you guys pointed out earlier. Peck losing this one. And what was the stat that was posted on here? Was it from a Clarence out there? Stats Peck versus All Saints, right?
Yeah.
That's for Peck there. So
yeah. Yep. Cal Hayden was able to find Thomas West for a touchdown. Those two have been developing a pretty good connection offensively. But again, Peck with such a young defense, and I think Bay City All Saints might be
more
a lot better than we've been giving them credit.
Yeah.
It's tough for Peck. I believe it was 61-8 at halftime. It's tough. It's a first-year head coach, a very young team, but I think they're going to keep making strides. Tough matchup with North Huron this week. Obviously, Paul goes with North Huron because he's the Kindy kid. I think Peck gets back on track this week because I'm the Peck boy. Give me the Pirates. They'll get things back on track. And, at this point in the season, if you're Peck, you're probably not looking playoffs. But you can still find some things you can make improvements on. And I think the first thing is going to be that defense. And I expect them to make some improvements.
So the All Saints move on, winning 74-8. Akron Fairgrove against Ashley. All Saints and Akron Fairgrove, they went out. They'll meet fittingly in week 8 for
Perfect.
The league title. So that's what I like about that setup.
Oh, we like
there.
It.
Yeah. Caseville gets New Haven Merritt this week. North Huron gets Peck. All Saints up against Carson reports Shane Lack, who got throttled by New Haven Merritt, 62-0. You went to this game.
Yeah, real quick, if Feltner plays for Caseville this week, that could be a very fun game, Caseville and New Haven Merritt.
Okay.
New Haven Merritt had a great running back. Another tough one for CPS. Kind of started things off on the wrong foot. New Haven Merritt recovers an onside kick to start the game, and you know, CPS never really got its footing after that. It's tough because I love Peck and I love CPS football, and it was a tough week last week. There's still a lot of good things with both of these programs. They're both going in the right direction. And, you know, I've been picking them all season. I've been rooting for them all year. So last week was a tough one for me. But I still got faith in the Tigers. I still got faith in the Pirates. They'll pick up a win or two here as we wrap up the regular season.
All right.
And I'll say this too, Mike. In our Pigskin Picks contest, I would say 90% of the people got that game wrong.
Yeah.
Most of the people were rolling with CPS over New Haven Merritt in that game.
Yeah.
So, to me, that was a bit of a surprising outcome.
That includes me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
For NCTL Stripes.
All three of us.
Yeah. Akron Fairgrove up against Ashley. Bay City Alton's up against CPS. Caseville against New Haven Merritt. And North Huron up against Peck in this game. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Paul.
Hey, two times in one night. I feel special tonight.
All right. We'll let you go. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, Eddie. I just kept cycling in guests.
Yes.
So
make
the show a little bit better.
You are the show host.
Yeah, instead of just listening to me talk all night, let's bring in the actual experts to talk. But another good show.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, a little stumble there on the phone situation. Ease up on me. I'm running four stations.
Yeah, come on.
Morning show.
Yeah.
All right. Game of the week, Sandusky at Harbor Beach, live on WBGV 92.5 FM, online, 6:30 p.m. Bad Axe at Ubley this week. Memphis at Marlette. Reset Lakers. Yes, you want to say something?
Just real quick. We talked about it a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Next week's edition of the Santa Lac County News is our sampler edition that goes out to every resident in Santa Lac County. Kind of gives you a taste of what our paper is. If you would like to advertise in the sampler edition, you can call us at 810-648-4000. We can get you set up with an ad for the paper. It's going to be all color. We're going to be doing some cool stuff with the sports section. It'll be a little bit of a larger section, so it'll give us the ability to, you know, put some more pictures and stories and such. And just throwing this out there as well, when we do the sampler editions, I usually like to highlight a former high school athlete in Santa Lac County that is off at college or in the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has any recommendations or any, you know, story about a college or professional athlete that they would like to read about, feel free to reach out to me, and we'll try and set something up this week.
All right. And Wagner Park.
Wagner Park. How could we forget, Eddie?
Yeah, big...
the best day of the year.
Cross-country meet on the beach.
Yes, on the beach. Wagner Park, man.
So be sure to check that out.
Yep. All the Santa Lac County teams will be in action up there. I expect the Croslex Pioneers to come home with first place. Eva Thompson to repeat as champion there. Wagner Park, beautiful course. One of the fastest courses in the Thumb, and just a great day of cross country.
So. All right, any critical volleyball action that happened in the past week?
Yeah, you know, it's tough that we got to wrap it up at 8, but you know, we can't let Lola, you know, be stuck at work. But Brown City knocks off Marlette, and we talked about it, Eddie. I said if there's one team that can beat Marlette, it is Brown City, and I don't like to pat myself on the back, but I did call that one.
That's a big bag.
Great effort from Brown City. Great atmosphere for that game. Unfortunately for Brown City, they were coming off of a loss to Ubley. So that put Ubley in first place and Marlette and Brown City in a tie for second place.
So Ubley got the help.
But then Marlette goes and beats Ubley on Thursday. So we got a three-way tie in the East between Ubley, Brown City, and Marlette. And I could see any of those three teams winning it. That'll be an interesting one to follow. Croslex volleyball handled Almont. Just a big win for Croslex. It's lining up. They got Richmond this week, which is a team that beat them earlier this season. I don't see Croslex losing to them again, but we've got that matchup with North Branch circled on the calendar.
Yeah. So and that is when?
Oh.
Okay. Sorry. All right. We'll leave
it's October 10th.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
NCTL, though. How's that looking volleyball?
Well, we saw CPS last week, Eddie. We were both at the CPS Caseville game, and they looked really good.
They're better.
They looked very good, Eddie. They took the first set from Caseville. Caseville is undefeated in the stripes. Yeah. Great showing for CPS. And then on Thursday, they finally break through and they get that stripes win against Akron Fairgrove.
Yes.
That's a
very young Akron Fairgrove team, by the way.
I don't think
there was any seniors in that team.
But this is a CPS team that's going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
I saw Deckerville Peck last week.
Yeah.
Deckerville, they're on a 4-game winning streak.
But they were on their heels.
But Peck looked pretty good, too. It's always a good matchup between those two. It looks like right now it's going to be Kingston-Deckerville for the Stars title.
Oh, boy.
Stripes, I'll have to get back with you on that one.
Okay. Yeah, we're still kind of, looking at that right now. Okay, so don't forget Wagner Park Cross Country this coming Saturday morning. Here are your games of the week. Our game of the week, Sandusky at Harbor Beach, this coming Friday night. Elsewhere in the Greater Thumb East in high school football, Bad Axe at Ubley, Memphis at Marlette, Greater Thumb West, it's Reese at Lakers, interesting game there. Cassidy at Vassar, Unionville Seabween at Carroll, Bluewater Area Conference, Croswell Lexington at Elmont, huge game there on ThumbTugger.com, Channel 1, North Branch at Richmond, another interesting game. We have Algonac Armada, Emily City at Yale Austin, the BWAC. And high school A player football, Deckerville at Kingston. I will definitely be going to that game. Don't know what if it's going to be broadcast on radio or on Thumb Tailgater Sports. We'll find out. Brown City at Mayville, that's on 92.1. Scotty B covering that game. K-Pec at Dryden. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian at Burton Atherton on Thursday. New Haven Merritt at Caseville. Peck at North Huron. Carson with Port Sandlick at Bay City All Saints. And Ashley at Akron Fairgrove. Those are our Sandlack Broadcasting coverage area teams. All right. And then, of course, we probably have possibly Deckerville Kingston on the schedule there. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right. That wraps up the show. I am late. Have a great night, folks. Thank you for tuning in. The replay will be posted tomorrow sometime in the morning. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Eddie.
That wraps up Thumb Sports Line for this week.